Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal. Takes the snap. Looks left. Pops it up. First wide open. Touchdown, Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, it's now back on The Fan. We'll get back to these football calls. Mixed in a little grimace. God. 888-808-1019 is our number. Before we get back to the calls here, Sal. So, you and I had a little bit of a different position on Daniel Jones at the end of last week here.
Yeah.
And while he wasn't amazing, he is certainly better than I think a lot of people thought he could be as he sheds rust and gets a little chemistry here with neighbors. I mean, I think the Giants season is going to be very dire, but do you at least in small doses yesterday, what you saw from Jones, any belief that he can string it together and maybe be more than you thought or what others thought maybe?
No, I think he is what he is at this point. Like, I think Daniel Jones can be okay enough to help them win some football games, but he'll never be good enough to be a quarterback that's going to get them to the level where you ultimately want to be. I mean, even yesterday in a game where he played okay, look, the number one thing that he did was give the ball to Malik Nabers. Offensive line was good, gave him some time, was able to find Malik Nabers quite a bit. Obviously they ran it well with Singletary, but Jones still overthrowing the deep ball by 5 yards. Like, bro, what are you doing? Significantly overthrowing the deep ball. I don't trust his decision making. I don't trust him, his ability to stay healthy. So, no, like, I think he is what he is. I do think he's a quarterback. It's been proven, whether we think it or not, it has been proven that you can win some games with Daniel Jones. I mean, he did win some games to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. We know that. That is a fact. Now, that was, you know, proven to be in the minority as far as you look at his career in comparison to everything else. But I think that he should be competent enough, as long as they could keep him healthy, to help them win some ball games until they eventually transition to get a new quarterback, which they're going to need. And until they get that, really, there's, you know, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're on the treadmill, which stinks.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing worse than having a quarterback that you know isn't ultimately in, but is interesting enough where you can't just discard him. It's a tricky spot. I do think that, number one, I thought he played better this week, and I'm going to give him some rope here. I said on Friday that I'm going to let him play until October, mm-hmm. you know, let the season define itself, and who knows what, you know, beat down the road with the contract and the injury clause and, you know, do they pull Russell Wilson? He was asked about that yesterday. That's going to become a story this year. It's just a matter of when. But I do think that this is the most talented Giants offense he's had since he got here.
Right.
I really do.
Well, I mean, still, look, he played well enough to not get benched yesterday in the first half. Nobody was thinking about pulling him from the game. It was, okay, well, they look competent. They're okay. Let's see if they could go win this football game. It wasn't, oh, my God, this is unbelievable. They got to get rid of Jones and bench him and see what could happen next. So that's fine. I mean, but that's what he should be the majority of the way. And even with that, he's still not the answer.
All right, let's get back to you guys. Obviously, a football Monday, but also juggling the pennant race baseball stuff. Alex on Staten Island. What up, Al?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I know a lot of the attention is going on Daboll and the whole kicking situation, and I get it. You know, it should have never happened with an empty spot. You got to have at least a backup. But I think that you can't allow, especially with a lot with the way the schedule looks, you can't allow a team like Washington to beat you on 7 field goals. It's just unacceptable, and I think what's happening is, you know, prior years we were always able to say, hey, look, you know, our defense has been able to keep us in these games. Can Daniel Jones go out there and just deliver the, you know, the gut punch to finish off the team? Now we're having to worry about our defense, which is an extreme liability. I'm sorry, but I have not seen Brian Burns showing up. I have not seen Thibodeau show up. These guys are supposed to take the next step and help this defense, you know, at least keep us in the games, because we know what Daniel Jones is right now, and he's not able to, you know, be this world beater. But we're letting these teams who we're technically we're supposed to come out and win against, we're letting them run all over us. We're letting the secondary just looks atrocious. We're not making tackles, and this is just something that, with the way that the schedule is built, you can't allow these teams that we're technically supposed to beat just do this to us.
Well, you already did. Really it's too late, Alex. It's too late. They already did.
You know, I'd be curious when we have.
Yeah, but
good.
BT. Yeah. I mean, you. I'm sorry. I'll finish off real quick.
That's okay. Good.
These are winnable. These are winnable games.
I know.
These are winnable games. And the defense has taken a step back.
Yes.
When in reality, like I said before, in prior years, it's been the defense that has held us in most of these games.
I got
but
you.
We can't afford that. We can't afford these guys.
Okay.
To
no,
do it to us.
Yeah. So those are. I got you. Good call. Appreciate it. What I'm saying is because you said, Alex, that the Giants can't afford to let this happen, and they already have. Now, not that they can't beat the Browns, but they're 7-point dogs. Who knows? What does it mean on kickoff? Nothing, right. But you know what I mean, at least in terms of the presentation and how competitive these teams are, what Vegas expects. Vegas expects the Giants to get nationally, you know, knocked around. So that might even get bet up to 7.5. It might go more money on the Browns. I don't know. But I do know that the Commanders was, the Vikings game was basically a point either way. And the Commanders was basically a pick 'em at the end of the day. Two games that you could have won, should have won, were maybe supposed to have a chance to win one. You're 0-2.
Don't you think, though, that it also is a problem that we know going into the year that the Giants were not going to be favored in the majority of their games? Like, that has nothing to do with coaching. Guy was a coach of the year a couple years ago. So based off of that, you're not going to be underdogs in the majority of games. It shows where the Giants are at in year three with a new regime. Like, even if everything went okay, we'd be saying, all right, well, they're 2-0 right now. Maybe they could beat Cleveland, but then look out. Now I know it's a different conversation, obviously, being 0-2 versus 2-0, but realistically, coming into the year, nobody was expecting much of this Giants team. They were going to have to prove us all wrong and exceed expectations, to your point. The win total, Vegas, 6.5. So that's not expecting much. Could they have exceeded it? Sure. But as long as they don't under-deliver it, and they didn't last year with, you know, falling off the cliff and being a 3-win or 2-win team, and now again, that's going to be the talk. Is this team going to be a team that's going to win two games? Well, if that's the case, then it's bad, and then all bets are off. I still think they'll figure out a way to be more competitive and right the ship based off of what we saw yesterday, but they actually have to go out there and do it, but they still are an undermanned group. Like,
yeah, I would agree with that. Those projections were there for a reason. Now, is that all on Dable? No, he's not drafting.
Right.
I don't know exactly what level of influence, even though we got to see Hard Knocks, you know.
I'm sure a lot, but
I mean,
still.
I think so, too. I do, but, you know, he's not the GM. Let me get JT and Edison, BT and Sal. JT, what's up? JT, what's going on, bud?
Let me take you off speaker. Okay.
Yes.
What's up? Number one, I'm pretty disappointed with my Bears again. But nonetheless, this is about Grimace and about the Yankees and the Mets. I respectfully disagree with you fellas. I think that any interest that you can bring to the ballpark is going to bring more people out because, you know, baseball's having a hard time. And minor league baseball is kind of thriving a little bit because of, you know, you can bring your family and there's
the quirkiness. It's also a lot cheaper. It's a lot cheaper, which is great. It's cheaper.
And the Yankees do the same thing.
When?
They do with the judges' quarters.
It's not the same.
With Freddie Sitz back in the day.
Yeah, Freddie.
There was always something. What? To bring somebody else to the ballpark.
JT,
all I'm saying.
I guarantee you, Freddie says did not sell one ticket.
Yeah.
With the fact that it's a gimmick and a foolish thing. Now, I root for the Yanks. They're my team. But unless the Mets are playing the Yanks, I root for the Mets.
Those are two different. So do I. I got you. Thanks for the call. Those are two different things. I mean, we're not trying to make this about a Yankee-Met rivalry. Sal just asked me, will the Yankees do this with Grimace? And my answer is no. And that propelled JT to call in and say that they would, which I don't think that they would. All right. I got something on Grimace that...
Oh, God.
I'm not even trying to be cute here. This would legitimately bother me if I'm a Mets fan.
What, something else on top of what we've been discussing? Or
yes.
What?
I don't know if you know this. I did not know this until just a cursory glance, a little search on X. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all right, they busted out Grimace, and we understand they're trying to make money. There's always, you know, business tie in McDonald's, purple shakes, whatever the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. I'm not gonna begrudge them for that. Anyway, yeah, by the way, they ripped off 7 wins in a row, whatever it was. So you got this Mets-Grimace relationship. It's a little small time, but what bothers me is that it's not even original. I am looking at something, right? On social media, the verified Washington Huskies football account apparently had, look at this, Sal, apparently had Grimace in the building as well this past weekend. So not only, you know, is it a little small time-ish and a little whatever.
But the Mets were first. I mean, I would
understand
assume, yeah.
that. But were they? I mean, are we 100% sure that they were first? I don't know.
I mean, maybe Grimace is throwing out first pitches outside of City Field.
Yeah, but now Grimace is getting around a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think now people trying to latch on to what the Mets and Grimace together had.
I know.
Had caused. And again, this is not even really about Grimace himself, where that was my initial issue. It's just like, what are we doing here? This is not about, you know, it's more about the timing of it than anything else. Like, it's not about not being able to have Grimace back. Bring him back next year. It was a thing this year. The thing went away. Bring him back next year, and then it maybe could become a thing again. Don't bring him back with 13 games to go in the season when you're fighting for your season here. Your playoff lives are on the line, and you know, go back to Grimace. Like, I can't even believe we're talking about this again. I can't even believe we're talking about Grimace again. Oh, man. And you would think, like, Grimace is more important than having Francisco Lindor back. Right now, Mets fans are waiting to see if Lindor's going to be healthy and in the lineup. And the Mets are tweeting about, oh, wait till you see what we got in store for you tonight. Wait till you see what we got in store for you tonight. I got news for you, Mets. Nobody's going to have fun in the ballpark. However many lights and sounds and mascots, if the Mets lose the game, nobody's having fun. And they're going to be even more angry the closer that they get to the postseason without getting that spot. So you can try all the bells and whistles all you want and think that it's cute and think that it's fun. If people want to go have fun, they go to a carnival. And see, you want to see clowns, you go to a carnival. Or go on the rides there. Baseball is different in this town. I'm not saying you can't have fun, but I'm saying there's a time for it. June is one thing. September, mid-September, it should not be about Grimace today. They're missing the mark yet again.
So now I'm actually looking at the Mets account. So maybe you said this before.
You see what I was talking about?
Cut out in the grass.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just like the silhouette or shadow of Grimace.
Yeah, I mean, let them know he's coming back. It says, as part of our fan appreciation celebration. I mean, the fan appreciation thing to me was always like, all right, the last home game, you throw the fans a bone, whatever, you know. That it's part of fan appreciation, although it seems to be stretched out now. I guess not the biggest deal, but now that other teams are doing it, like I'm sure it's not just the Mets and the Washington Huskies. I mean, that's a leap of faith on my part, but I'm sure that it's branched out beyond that. Now the uniqueness is gone, and now it's completely corny.
It's just the timing of it makes no sense.
I know.
You had success with it. Why are you going back to the well now? You just don't get it.
Let me get Eric in Rivervale. Eric, what's happening?
Hey, Sal. How are you doing, guys?
What's up, Eric?
What up?
Well, let's talk Jets. I know, BT, you were there at the game yesterday, so it's a different perspective, I think, right? A different way of viewing it. But
totally.
I think, you know, out of the gate for me, like, you know, get on, I suppose, on the negative side. I mean, obviously, a win's a win, and we'll take it. But I completely agree with you on the coaching front, and I tried with all my might, really, to get behind Saleh and try to, you know, hope and pray that this guy's going to get better. But what I constantly see each and every week is that they just come out of the gate so slow. They don't look prepared. They have sloppy penalties, sloppy play, and they just don't have any of that, like, all gas, no break this guy always talks about. I mean, they just come out slow. So that, like, first quarter and a half or half of football looks completely different than the second half. And thank God for Rodgers, because otherwise that game is completely different. And you're right, it's the same old Jets, right? I mean, as soon as I saw Mosley go down, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Here we go. Same old story, and, you know, it's a toe. But then you see Jermaine Johnson go down, and I'm like, yeah, those are the games that the Jets historically have always lost, right? And it turns into, you know, yeah, that same old, you know, song and dance. But, you know, obviously Rodgers looked phenomenal as far as his ability to control the game, his poise. I mean, that's what the Jets have been missing for so long. I mean, that connection with Garrett Wilson was unbelievable. It was probably one of the best plays I've seen the Jets make in maybe my lifetime. I mean, it was unbelievable. So there's those flashes, but I mean, I have significant concerns about this defense. And I don't know. I mean, maybe Will McDonald is it. Like, maybe he could be, you know, the guy, you know, and you bring Reddick in and it solves the problem. And I know Saleh loves to have multiple options, you know, on the defensive line, right? I mean, we seem to have, you know, options galore, and he rotates in and out, you know, almost on the regular. But yeah. My thought is maybe the positive that if there's anyone to take from Jermaine Johnson going down is that maybe that rotation is part of the problem, right? With Will McDonald getting more reps and getting more looks, maybe he does turn into, you know, the pick that we thought he could potentially be. I don't know, but, you know, maybe. And what that contract for Reddick looks like, I would love your thoughts on that, because at this point, we need him.
Listen, it better look signed very soon is what it better look like. That's it. I mean, I don't know how much he's going to get guaranteed. I don't know what they do creatively. I don't care. It just got to be signed. That's it.
It's amazing how everything broke Reddick's way.
Really has.
2 weeks in.
They got gashed on Monday night for the whole world to see it.
Yep.
Oh, well, you need Reddick, even though we didn't overreact to that. And now, boom, you know, a rising third year, not a superstar, but a highly interesting, you know, impactful player who's young and explosive. He's done for the season.
And let's just also say Reddick's not the answer either. Like, it'd be great to have him because it should help, but he's not going to solve the problems that they have, which is they cannot stop the run.
He's definitely not. I agree with that. But listen, I mean, hell, the Giants traded for Leonard Williams in season, you know, a couple of years back. If you can resolve, and you're going to have to, if they can sign this, figure this out with Hassan Reddick and just find a team before the deadline that's got a run-stuffing, not a superstar, just a big-bodied, capable run-stuffer, you trade for him. You trade for him, and you got to take a shot. And, you know, if I didn't think the Raiders would beat the Ravens yesterday. I was pretty sure the Raiders would be 0-2, and maybe the Raiders are going to be a little bit better than I thought. But if they're not, if they are what I think that they'll be, then you try to get Devontae Adams. You owe it to Rodgers and the Jet fans and Sala and everybody involved. They got to go for it. So you got to find somebody. And if they do find somebody that run stuffer, you don't have to learn a playbook. You just put him in the middle of the line. You crush the runner, and then you allow those bouncy athletes to go get play, you know, to go make plays. And if you do that between the other pieces, well, the defense could maybe find a way to not miss a beat. But if they can't stop the run, and the personnel they have now is not stopping the run. So if they can make a trade, which I think they could, which I think they'll be interested in, you never know.
Stuck in
explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal back here on the Fan. It's 127. Get back to these calls. 888-808-1019. I'll tell you what, the coolest thing for me, and first of all, Nashville is a city, as many of you have found out, is absolutely ridiculous.
You've been before? This is your first time?
I was there a while ago.
Okay.
It's changed a lot. I was there, I want to say, about 10 years ago-ish.
Okay.
And it was fairly in and out, and it was cool. I liked it. Oh, my God, dude. I mean, it's really like Vegas without the cards. There were so many people. There was also some racing, some racing event going on. Jet fans were everywhere. The city was absolutely mobbed. Like, the restaurants, the music, the energy, the vibe. It's just top shelf. It's insane. But what I love, I've been to a bunch of stadiums now. I've been to Green Bay, been to Vegas with the Raiders, went to Dallas week two last year. We'll go to Pittsburgh coming up in about a month. Hopefully you're coming with me on that. We're going to try to. And go to London soon. For me, the best thing is when you're walking from wherever you're tailgating, and our tailgate's amazing, top notch, but wherever you are, and you walk into the stadium, and you're on enemy soil, and you got your own team's gear on, right? And you spot, over the course of the walk, you know, 700, 800, 900, 1,000 other Jet fans. Yeah. You give them the salute, you dap them up, like you just,
it's
your brother,
fun.
And you're in the same house.
I love it.
You're in the same place.
It's fun. First of all, it gives you a reason to travel the country, and in some cases, outside of the country. I know you're going to London in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But it gives you an excuse if you otherwise, and I'd love to go to Nashville. That would have been one. I mean, I know it was week two early on, but that it's just a town that I've always wanted to go to. So Jet fans have a good time going and experience it, and you come out with a win. It's great. Baseball I've done a bunch of times. you know, traveling, whether it's just to see the different stadiums or seeing the Mets specifically and road stadiums. But, man, it just seems like you had a great time. You were texting us pictures all week.
I was.
And videos all weekend.
Yeah, boys in the loop. Let you know what you were missing.
Yeah, it looked great. I was like, geez, where's the invite? I mean, come on, what's going on here? Maybe we can do Pittsburgh. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be as fun as Nashville. It's going to be different. It might be different football.
Have you been to Pittsburgh before?
I've been to Pittsburgh, but not to a Steelers game. I've been there for St. John's and Pitt several times, like back in the day when Pitt was in the Big East there. So I think that it really is just, now I wouldn't want to go travel every week. Like, it's a lot, you know, and I'm not looking for pity. I mean,
I know, and I mean, even so much so tired Thursday. You know, you're not going to go to the game Thursday night, home opener.
No, I'm not. I mean, can I still be Coors? Listen, that is not about me just having too much on my plate. That's really me. I don't want to watch like back to back, and then eventually it would almost be back to back to back games where I'm not on the couch. I like, you know, I like getting the roast beef and the mozzarella.
No, I know, but you still. I'm actually curious because I'm going to the game Thursday, and I have not been to, I have not been to a Jets or Giants football game. I can't even remember the last time.
Yeah, have you been one to MetLife or the Meadowlands?
The last one I remember going to at MetLife was the playoff game Giants-Falcons. This is going back, you know, Victor Cruz is going back.
That was when you guys scored the 2 points, right? Was that the game?
Correct. That was the game.
Okay.
I might have been before. I always forget this. But anyway, like, I want to pay attention to the game, obviously.
I know.
So it's easy for me now that I'm in Jersey, so I'm going to leave work and go right from work to MetLife and check it out. I can't wait. Home opener, Rodgers, Jets, Pats should be great, fun. Yep, yep. But I'm also like, oh, wow, maybe I missed something there, or you don't, you know, it's just a different,
yeah,
you know.
Well, you'll definitely miss something. Yeah. I mean, now you come back and you connect the dots like I did last night with the Giants when I got in from Newark, and obviously the rest of the NFL, which I was tracking the Giants in my seat. They didn't do a very good job on my phone. They didn't do a very good job of in-stadium stuff. The Raiders score, the Saints Cowboys score was the first thing that jumped over. I'm like, wow, they're absolutely taking them out to the woodshed. The one thing that it's crazy too, we complain a lot about our stadium, like MetLife, and it's a lot more expensive to build here. We know that. So it's a little trickier, a little tougher, other things you got to deal with, right? You know, other cities don't. Nissan Stadium, because I remember the game, I remember very well. The Jets were, at one point before Nissan Stadium was built, the Jets were playing the Titans. Were they the Oilers? Well, either way, they may have still been the Oilers, but Tennessee. And they were building the stadium, and they were playing at Vanderbilt. So the NFL team, Steve McNair, Eddie George, of course, rest in peace to Steve McNair. He was. They were using the Vanderbilt football field. I remember Curtis had like a 45-yard gash touchdown, and that was the 98 season. Jets went 12-4. And in my mind, I'm like, well, God, like Nissan Stadium's been around for a long time. And I guess it has. It's been around for like 20-something years. It feels old. It's amazing how fast. Now, it's not terrible. I'm not complaining. But it's amazing how fast the stadium just feels almost antiquated.
Yeah. And right. In my mind, it's like, oh, one of the newer ones. Meanwhile, it's 25
kind
years
of,
old. Yeah.
Yeah, but awesome. A Jet fan showed up. And it is the energy in the parking lot, and the whole city was absolutely rocking. A lot of green.
And you came back with a win, and you covered the spread. So, there you go. Yeah. That's all I cared about.
Came back with a couple bucks. You know, a lot of things. It was a good weekend.
Seemed like it.
I even dragged Jen and the kids out. Hey, come get daddy at Newark. I'm landing at 10. Kids have school. Tough. Pick me up.
Wow, that late, huh?
Okay. Yeah. They were all showered and bathed, obviously, in the pajamas. You know, daddy got him a little gift. You know, it was nice. It was nice. I felt like I was gone a week. I was gone a day. I mean, I'll tell you, Nashville kicked the crap out of me. And I was fairly responsible. Like, I wasn't going bonkers. Although, I will say this. Going down, I did something I almost never do.
Drink on the plane.
Drank a little bit on the plane. Yeah. I got set up in first class. I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I usually don't fly first class, full disclosure. Honeymoon, a few other occasions here and there. I don't need to sit first class, man. But I did, and it wasn't on me, and I forgot how the drinks could flow. You know, and I'm watching my son's football game, which is killing me that I'm missing.
How did he do, by the way, Colt?
They lost the tight one. He did well. Okay, they lost the tight one. Whatever. Nobody cares about how. I'm just saying
well,
how
I was curious.
How
I didn't
they, they lost the tight one. Yeah. So I'm watching that, and before you know it, I'm sucking down a few vodkas at Estella. I'm like, whoa, haven't even got to Nashville. I got a little buzz going. It was fun. All right, let's get back to you guys here. Jets and Giants, obviously. Stan is West Orange, and he's with us here with BT and Sal. What's happening, Stan?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay,
Sal.
Stan.
Well, belated welcome to New Jersey, Sal.
Thank you, Stan.
So, I hope to see you guys around somewhere. Hey, Brandon, real quick before I get into my giant point. Mm-hmm. What was the highest game you ever scored, ever had at the Rainbow Lanes?
Ooh. I stopped playing there when I was... My highest score, I went over 200 once. there, I was young. I was like 7th or 8th grade doing a league. Honestly, if I had to get maybe 150, but I was young. I was very young.
Okay, well, I used to play there with my uncle years ago.
Uh-huh.
Back, in the old neighborhood there.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
So I thought you'd remember it.
Yeah, I wish the Burger King was still there.
Real quick.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm pretty sure you were a better bowler than me. I loved it, but it sounds like you could play a little bit.
Yeah, well, I was a kid then, so you did better than I did. But
what's going on, buddy?
Real quick. They're getting on Dable because he didn't have an extra kicker. You let me ask you a question. These guys, you got a professional punter, a professional field goal kicker.
Yep.
Both of these guys had to do either one or both while they were going through college, high school, whatever.
Yeah.
How the heck do you just abandon the idea of kicking extra points when you can back up or you can put a rookie quarterback in a situation where he has to score points? That game is 20-18 going into the final quarter. Whether Malik drops that ball or he doesn't.
Yeah.
If they're up two, that means that they got to score.
I know.
And that would have pressured them to. So I don't know why he didn't try Gillen again at least one more time.
That's fair.
Because
he looked awful. Yeah, well, I mean, he could have done that.
I think it's fair.
Guy made a 40-yard field goal a year ago.
It's fair.
Yeah. I mean, look, you could question that. It's just a shame that it came down and that the Giants lost the game because they should have won the game. I mean, 3 touchdowns, you scored. You don't allow a touchdown, yet you lose because the other team kicked 7 friggin' field goals and because you didn't have a field goal kicker at your disposal. It's typical what's gone on with the Giants here in recent years. That type of game is just unfortunately, sadly, typical.
Listen, 2022 aside, they're still a bad franchise. And whether it's Dallas or, for the most part, Philly, I think Dable's 1-9 against them, right around there. They're usually getting whacked by double figures, not competitive. They're, after the 6-1 start a couple of years ago, they've lost a ton more games than they've won. And bad teams, with all due respect, you get blown out, you lose a game you find a way to lose. And, there is precedence, although it's reversed. I don't know if you remember this, Sal. Remember the playoff game, the first run with Rex, when they backed in, when the Colts pulled Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
All right. The first game was in Cincinnati.
Right. They beat the Bengals?
They beat the Bengals. It was horrible weather. I believe Laverne Coles was on the Bengals. He had a big fumble that first drive, and Braylon Edwards dropped a touchdown, a bomb by Sanchez. Anyway, I'm just kind of remembering the game as I go along. But the Jay Feely, who was a pretty clutch kicker, a good dude too, was forced to punt that game as well. So what our last caller was saying, most of these specialty, kickers, punters, they usually did both in high school.
Right.
Now, what if it's just
That's probably part of why Dable didn't feel the need to bring in an extra kicker, thinking, all right, Gano's good to go, and worst case, we'll have the punter make kick the field goal.
Yeah, but if that was his thought process, and he abandoned it after one bad kick, then he just didn't stick to his gut, and I think that's even worse.
Well,
so I will never know. What if it's, I don't know, say if there's a sack, whatever, and it's like 4th and 9, and they really have from inside, the very close distance, and they don't have faith in their kicker at all. You're going for it on 4th and 9. Like, what are they doing there? Are you going to kick a chippy for the win? Or are you going 4th and 9, hitting the end zone? What would they have done?
Yeah, I mean, probably try the field goal, you would think. Who knows?
If they would have tried it there, then they should have. I know. My point.
I know. I get it. Maybe they wouldn't have. Who the hell knows?
I don't know either. Tough loss. Just a brutal one.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining. 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. How about Tyler in Trumbull, Connecticut? What's happening, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, I took your advice last week. I didn't go apple picking. I told the wife one more Sunday, and I'm sorry I did. She texted me at 4 o'clock, LOL. She's laughing at me, and she thinks the New York Giants hit home runs.
By the way, she's going to make you double up this. Hey, you're going to have to double up this weekend. Forget about going Apple Pay. You're going to have to go shoe shopping.
Right, but no, here's the thing, Tyler. Either way, you win. Giants lost, but you won. We saved you from apple picking with your family. You're welcome.
Hey, I don't think Brian Daboll is getting those questions about his job if Bill Belichick isn't in the wings. I think he's the sole reason Daboll's facing that heat. And also, Sal, you said that the Giants showed improvement week over week?
From week one to week two, yes.
Sal, this is year three. Year three of a regime, and they went down to Washington and lost to a quarterback who's been there for 6 months.
Oh, he's better. They have a better quarterback. Washington has a better quarterback than the Giants do.
That is worse in my backyard. What's up with the Washington field? My backyard looks nicer.
All right. A little bit of everything there. Jumping around. BT and Sal call of the day. All right. Let's get back to these calls before we do that. So, Sal.
Yeah.
I thought the Giants, just given on the over-under total, which was 6.5, I thought they would go under. That was my thought coming into the season. I thought 5-12 sounded right. Based on, two, at least on paper, and Vegas, very winnable games, not resulting in any wins. Are you prepared to adjust your win total for the Giants moving forward?
I was going to go over the 6.5. I'm not going to go away from that just because of the slow start. Now, it would have been different to me had they looked like they did in week one and week two. They didn't. The problem is they should have won at least one of these first two games. I think they're going to beat the Browns. Now, again, it's ridiculous to say that now based on, I just don't think Cleveland is as good, and I could see the Giants riding the ship. If they don't, how could you say confidently that they're going to compete? Like, could they beat the Cowboys or Eagles? I mean, it's the NFL. Anything could happen. We've seen other bad teams.
Raiders.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Patriots all of a sudden beating the Bengals week one. Right, the Raiders, nobody, they were 10-point underdogs, 9.5-point underdogs.
Vikings.
Winning that game. So stuff does happen in the NFL, and the Giants are going to need at least one of those wins. But because of the home games against the Commanders, home games against the Panthers, maybe they beat the Colts. That's three right there. I think getting to 7 at this point is going to be difficult.
I really do. I think 7 at this point would stun me. And then the other thing is, and we'll obviously have to navigate this as we get deeper into the season. The pressure on the head coach is it's palpable. I mean, it's there. It's unavoidable. Whether you agree or not, I certainly respect it. I see both ways. It's a little early, and even though it is year three, a little early when, now that the job status is the forefront of the press conference here. I get it. I understand why he was ticked off a little bit. But I was always worried about his emotions kind of maybe facilitating his earlier than necessary departure. I mean, because I think that Brian Daboll is going to be a great coach, whether it's somewhere else, 2.0. I think Daboll 2.0 is going to be really, really good. I hope it's here, but this is a very ominous start to the season. There's just no other way to put it. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. John on Staten Island. What's happening, John?
Hello, gentlemen. I am a Giants fan, and I cannot believe that I'm going to agree with Mr. Sal Licata. He said early in the show that he thought it was a witch hunt. You guys both work in the media. I do not. I would like your opinion. If they ask the same question 14 times, just changing the words, is that lazy journalism where they came in with a question? Or were they trying to be the person that would get him to explode? Because a question outside of, obviously, the kicker that I might have asked was in the first quarter when the defender led with his head and hit Malik Nabers, no call. Maybe you score another touchdown. I just can't understand 14 questions, the same thing. It does seem to me like they're trying to either trip him up or make him yell so that they can get him out of here.
When he did answer it, I will say, John, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. I will say that that's the number one question I wanted to hear answered after the game. What happened? Why did you guys not have another kicker there? Or whose choice was it? And that question was asked. And he answered it. Now, he was ticked off, and it took him a while, and ultimately said, and I think he was covering up for everybody else, whether it's Gano, whether it's the staff. It's not just one person's decision, something like that. But he said, I'm the head coach. Every decision basically starts and ends with me. And end of story. Like, the follow-ups to me were, and again, I'm not trying to tell people how to do their job, and I think some were warranted. I think some were trying to needle Daboll and get that response. They weren't happy with the way that he said it. So, yeah, I do think it was, and to me, those weren't even the bad parts. The bad question was asking him about his job security during week two. I mean, what are we doing here?
And then going back to it repeatedly. It's early. It's aggressive for that. There's no question. But, people need to understand. And again, if it's right or wrong, I don't know. But John asked us, is it lazy? He was asking us our opinion of what was presented to Daboll. Listen, you guys need to understand. And many of you do understand this. But let me just lay it out a little bit more clearly for you. Even the journalist that you trust the most, okay, whether it's politics or sports, whatever. Every question is asked with a column in mind. Just understand that. Like, they're not just up there for the health. I mean, they are asking a question that would generate a response that, in their mind, they are already somewhat pre-committed to writing about.
Right.
And I got news for you. You and I are no different. When we have, whether it's Casillas or Carl Banks on, you know, obviously a bunch, and whatever happened, or Brian Cashman on a month or so ago, anytime we have a big guest on, we're never looking to disrespect somebody, but you don't think that we're asking the question that we know is going to gain the most traction on? So, I mean, of course.
Well, I want
common sense.
Well, I would ask questions that I want to know the answer to, which generally should be, especially if you get good answers, honest, open answers, it should be a good response. But in that particular case, I think it's ridiculous. If you and I had Brian Daboll on, there's no chance we're talking about his job security.
Honestly, I would never present it that way. But based on what I've said, I would go there in a softer, much more respectful way, because I don't think he's earned quite that. But I would not leave that unbroached.
And let me just say that now it would be a thing because it was brought up. I would just ask him, be like, how ridiculous is it to you?
Yeah.
But I don't think prior to that game or after that game, or if we're talking to him specifically about that game, I don't think.
I would have still.
I would not have approached that.
I believe you. But that's also something I've said for a while. Yeah. Like, and I would have presented it, who knows what if he's actually on the phone. Not that I'd run away from it. I think most of you know that I'm going to ask whatever's on my mind. Say, well, my partner, I'm not afraid of asking anybody anything, even though we want to be respectful. Yeah, yeah. But I think that I would have presented it along the lines of, hey, coach, you know, I've said it, others have said it, you know, last year with Wink and this and that. I would have given you a little backstory, to be fair to him, so it wasn't so aggressive. But I would have gone, you know, hey, if this thing gets off the rails further and you guys fail to, do you really think that your job could be in jeopardy? Like, it would have been along those lines, softer, but I would have gotten to it. Let me get to Joe in North Plainfield, BT and Sal on the Fan. Joe, what's going on?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing today?
What's up, Joe?
How you doing?
Hey, Joe.
Sal, about six years ago, when you were with SNY, you ran a tailgate contest.
Yes, yeah, for loudmouths, yeah.
Yes, and our tailgate, Big Blue Barbecue, was the winner.
Oh, nice.
So I heard a couple weeks ago that you're going to the Giant Cowboy game on Thursday night.
Yes.
I would like to invite you and Brandon to our tailgate.
Oh.
Big Blue Barbecue.
Well, now,
we have over 400 people there.
We appreciate it. It was a scene years ago, I remember, and I remember the weather sucking that particular day,
It poured that day.
Let me ask you something. What time do you get there, and what time does it end?
Well, what happens is if the lot opens up on time, it's 5 hours before. So 8:20 game, the lot will open up at probably 3:15.
And then what time you wrap it up?
Right. Probably 15 minutes before game time.
Wow. I mean, see, my issue is I'm coming in. We do appreciate the invite. Thank you very much.
Nice of you there, Joe.
I'm looking forward to it. Man, and now I think about a back-to-back Thursday night. Jets, Pats. This week I'll be at MetLife, and then the following week with Giants and Cowboys. And I'm looking forward to both. Problem is, and we do appreciate the invite, we'd love to do it as a show. Maybe one of these days, BT, we plan something like that. Go to a Giants game, figure it out. But that particular day, I'm leaving from work, so I don't think I'm going to be able to get there in time to go hang out at the tailgate and then get into the game.
I mean, that's an early start.
Yeah, well, I mean,
3:20.
That's 5 hours early.
Yeah,
I mean, the thing was legit from what I remember. It was just chaos out there. You know how these tailgates go?
Oh my God, they are amazing. But and it's amazing how I view them now. Like I used to, I couldn't wait to get there. As soon as those gates opened at the old Meadowlands, I would, you know, for the Jets, I was in. First beer, you know, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
If not earlier.
All right.
Honestly.
No, I get it.
But it's
now it's like you want to show up right before
no,
game.
No. There's gotta be a better balance. I mean, you start drinking 5 hours before a game. Now you can also go 5 hours before the game and not drink.
Right.
You don't have to drink. You don't have to be a degenerate.
Well, if you're a Giant fan, you might have to
drive you to drink. So you may as well just beat them to it, is what you're saying preemptively. Because you know they're gonna drive
you. Well,
there.
You haven't been going for the game, put it that way. You're going to have some fun.
Hey. Here's the pitch from Grimace.
Oh, God. You had to remind me.
You brought it up.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Sal, good luck to you, Mets, man. Honestly, you got to broom these Nats. You must sweep the Nationals. Good luck to the Mets. Yanks are all back tomorrow. Obviously, a little more baseball tomorrow. It's our turn of the page. Week 3 on Thursday. Jets and the Pats. Evan and Tiki are next. Have an awesome rest of your football Monday. We'll catch you tomorrow at 10 here on The Fan. Bye-bye.